I feel like I'm fixing to die. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast Meatloaf sang about in 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. What has he done for you lately? It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, it is 85 degrees outside my house in beautiful Cave Creek, Arizona. I couldn't be a happier camper. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us again today. This is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am your Medicare expert for today, Doug Jones, as my Canadian nephew Drew McMillan might have just told you. I am here to help you feel really good and really confident about that approaching encounter with Medicare that so many of us are concerned about, and so many of us are seeing approaching over the horizon. It looks like as the population ages, more and more people are going to have that encounter, and I want everybody to look forward to it with some enthusiasm and to pass through it without any problems at all, and to look back at it as having been a very good experience. The way I do that is I encourage people to buy my book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. It is out for sale on barnesandnoble.com. That's a paperback with very nice, colorful interior illustrations. And if you want to go to amazon.com, you'll find several iterations of the book, ranging in price from about $3.80 all the way up to $22. What a wide range of value. Take your pick. They all have the same content, the same Medicare knowledge, and they're all there for you to read, absorb in fairly short order, and to feel as though you are a Medicare expert as well. And that is because it'll be true. Anybody who's read my book, which takes about an hour and a half if you don't move your lips while you're reading, anybody who's read and absorbed the knowledge in my book knows more about Medicare than many, many government officials and many people who are purported insurance agents that are experts as well. Now, there are some opinions there. I don't just balance everything evenly. I have my opinions as to what works best for most people, and I am free to express those opinions in my book. You can take them or leave them, but I believe that by following my advice, by contacting me to help you acquire your Medicare supplement and your drug plan and other ancillary coverages that you may want, I believe you're going to be very, very well served for the many decades of life that you have left to enjoy. Anyway, speaking of enjoyment, I always enjoy my time every day with Randy Carson, and he is right here looking at me as though, well, yeah, it's not that much fun for me because I have to work during the podcast.
Oh, I enjoy every minute I spend with you. You know that.
Oh, so, I'm glad to hear it.
Because we are so similar in our likes and dislikes. Number one is he's a car guy. I'm a car guy. He got started off on Corvettes. I got started off on GTOs, although he has one of those too. So,
yeah,
you know, we can't really argue about much of anything.
Every time we try to find something to argue about, it just goes away. We have a beer and we forget all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things. We are so well matched to do what we do. You know, I had a question pop into my head today. We had talked about the history behind the acronym CMS.
Yes, we did.
Versus MAMA.
MAMA.
MAMA. I think they made a good choice.
Oh, yeah. I would not be able to get through a podcast episode if I had to say MAMA.
MAMA.
Do I sound like Chatty Cathy?
Yeah. Well, does anybody have to pull your string, or
believe me, I get my string yanked on a regular basis, and it's not that pleasant.
Oh dear. Well, anyway, we need to go on and do some good stuff today because we have had a 3-day weekend and we are wired and we are full of caffeine. At least I am. I don't know about Doug, but we are full of it all.
Well, I'm drinking Coca-Cola. It's America's drink. And so I am, again, fully caffeinated and ready to go.
So I do have one question for you. Did you want me to throw in one of our curated questions, or do you have enough material today to go it on your own?
We forget about the curated questions. No, we should probably do that first, because otherwise we're going to forget, or else I'm going to run us out of time. So let me
do one of those. This is not terribly difficult.
We've got 25.
None of them are terribly difficult for Doug, but here is a curated question from our professional curator that we have hired, and she has done a wonderful job. So we're on question number 5, and the question is, I delayed Medicare at the age of 65. How do I enroll now?
Oh, boy, you dummy. You self-destructive idiot. All right, here's the deal. If you delayed Medicare more than 3 months, then you are SOL. That's a specific insurance term, meaning that you're out of luck, but not completely out of luck, because as I say in the book, even people who make very bad mistakes will have a way to correct those mistakes very often. Most of the time, a bad mistake is not going to be a permanent mistake, but yet it will be uncomfortable for some period of time before you have a chance to correct it. In this case, every year from January 1st to March 31st, you got 3 months of what they call a Medicare enrollment. It's not open enrollment, but it's an enrollment period that allows, general enrollment period. That's what it is. Working off the top of my head here, I should have notes in it and a lot of detailed written down that I can just read, but then I would sound like a robot. This is the general enrollment period for Medicare that you would be able to use at the beginning of each year, January, February, and March, to enroll in Medicare if you blew it off when you were legally allowed to enroll. And then the Medicare that you have enrolled in during this general enrollment period will start the first of the following month. It used to be that the Medicare coverage would not start until July 1st. So you always had a few months unprotected by insurance, but Medicare or Congress or somebody changed that rule. And now if you blew off Medicare when you were originally eligible for it and then decided that you wanted to get Medicare, you can enroll in Medicare Parts A and B anytime during the first 3 months of the year, and the coverage will begin for you the first of the following month. So that's the answer, but you're still a dope.
That is a great answer, because I know, I will guarantee you that in the podcast audience, there's several people going, wow, I did that. How do I get myself out of this pickle? You know, bottom line is, as I've mentioned a couple times, we could answer the same question multiple times, you know, a month. And because of the nature of our rolling audience, we're going to hit 17 people in the audience that don't have the answer to that question. So I think that's a great answer. You just don't want to miss it. It's not the right thing to do. It's not the best thing to do, but it is, as Doug says, recoverable.
Absolutely. So you might be a dope, but it's not permanent, and you will recover from that error. Okay, now that we've taken care of all that business, I'm back to looking at the curated pile of content material, and I see the thing on the top is, it reminds me of a conversation I had a couple of weeks ago from a potential client in Massachusetts, and this gentleman hasn't responded to me yet, so I don't know if he's going to become a client or not, but in Massachusetts, there's a very difficult time getting the broad range of Medicare supplement coverages that everybody else in the United States has. In all other states, pretty much, you've got your choice between a very rich plan, and that would be a little on the costly side, and a trimmed down high performance, the GTO of Medicare supplements, which is the high deductible plan. Unfortunate name. Randy and I have renamed it the high value Medicare supplement plan. So when you come to people who live in Massachusetts, their state has mandated different type of Medicare supplement coverages. Medicare supplements are needed because if all you have is Medicare, and if you don't have any coverage to supplement that Medicare coverage, then your bills could pile up and you could wind up paying a very sizable chunk of your medical bills. I know that when my wife had her knee replacements, that chunk could have amounted to tens of thousands of dollars. And so we have Medicare supplement insurance that picks up most of the tab for things like that. It's not just a matter of when you get sick or when you have an accident. It's also a possibility that you're going to have to need an organ replacement or a joint replacement, and those kinds of things are pretty darn pricey, even the 20% that you would have to pay if you didn't have a Medicare supplement. So Medicare supplements are available in all states. Massachusetts has a limiting factor. They only have a base plan, which is fairly pricey and is fairly skimpy. And then they have a supplement one, which is the optional supplement that takes up the slack, and that's it. And so when I've taken a look at the Massachusetts coverages available, I think the base plan is too skimpy and too expensive. I think it leaves a lot of openings for possible bankruptcy for people who have medical problems that could be very expensive. It doesn't really close all the holes and gaps that exist in Medicare, like daily, if you're in the hospital for a long time, daily co-pays for each day that you're in the hospital over 60 days, and things like that, nursing home co-pays. It's just the risk is very high. So I would recommend to everybody in Massachusetts that you purchase the base plan plus supplement one. And that's going to be a little pricey, but I decided to try to help out my client by finding a reasonably priced product. And so I went to my portfolio of companies and I found two that offer coverage in Massachusetts. And of those two, one was just sky high in expense. It was like $300 and some a month. The other one was much more reasonable. It was $180 a month. So I said to myself, but that's not really a good thing to do, to show my client only one plan and say, take it or leave it. So I got to thinking about going to other companies that do business in Massachusetts. So the first company I ran across that was on an old list of Medicare supplement insurance companies selling their products in Massachusetts was a company called Transamerica Life. Transamerica Life is well known to people who watch a lot of TV, like I have in the past, because they have in San Francisco a big, interesting looking triangular building. And so in Chicago, if you want to take a video of the skyline, you've got to include the John Hancock building because it's an interesting building. In Boston, you have to include the John Hancock building. In San Francisco, you have to include the Transamerica building because it's like a pyramid. And so I thought, okay, I've known Transamerica has been around for a long time, and I'm going to approach them and see if I can get a contract so that when I have a Medicare supplement client in Massachusetts, I'll have an excellent product to sell them. Well, I tore into it a little bit deeper and I found out Transamerica disappointed me by discontinuing all of their Medicare supplement plans. I would have added them to my portfolio in all parts of the country. So I found this article here and it says, when did Transamerica Life discontinue Medicare supplement plans? They ceased offering Medicare supplement plans in 2020 due to the changes in the healthcare industry and the need to focus resources on other insurance products. Now, this article is not well written because it says, what states did they used to offer the Medicare plans in? And the answer was Transamerica offered Medicare supplement coverage in several states across the nation. And there followed a list of those states. Well, I counted because I'm anal retentive. And they sold in exactly 50 states. So the whole thing could have been worded better. They used to sell in every state. They sold in all the states but they are not selling Medicare supplements anymore. So then I thought, well, what other companies might have left the Medicare supplement marketplace? And this article addresses that farther down. So in recent years, it says several insurance entities have made the strategic decision to withdraw from the Medicare arena, citing various factors behind their exit. Presented below are a few more insurance companies that have followed suit in discontinuing their Medicare offerings. And these companies are not really familiar to me. Most of them aren't. Atlantic Coast Life, Catholic Life, National Guardian Life is a familiar company, and I often confuse them with Guardian Life, but National Guardian Life is not as well thought of as Guardian Life. They stopped selling Medicare supplement. Oxford Life, I've also heard of. They are not selling Medicare supplement plans anymore. And Pan American Life, which I think has always been a little on the sketchy side, they are not selling Medicare supplements anymore. So some companies have left the Medicare supplement process or marketplace. So then just this last paragraph, I noticed the curator did not use any highlighter, but yet it might be interesting. Let's see, the headline in the last paragraph is getting help finding Medicare plans in your area. You don't have to go through the process alone when finding a new Medicare supplement plan. Many resources are available to help you make an informed decision and find the best program for you. And then I read, it says, go online, fill out online forms to review plans and consult with a licensed insurance agent. That's going to be a recipe for frustration right there. Because once you do that once, you're going to have every moron on the internet bugging you, sending you email. Your name will be sold again and again and again and again. I did that when I turned 65. I went online to do some research about Medicare. And believe me, I'm still hanging up on and unsubscribing to the things. And it's been 10 years. I am still burdened with all the correspondence that comes in as a real result of my doing things online to research Medicare 10 years ago. The fallout is still happening for me. So I would not recommend that for you. I would recommend contacting me with the email address that Randy's going to give you at the end of this episode, and that will allow you to contact me directly. I will never bug you, and we will have I hope, a pleasant and fruitful relationship. Next, I have a document here, which is actually a conversation on email that I had with a potential client. And I put this in the curation pile for our podcast content curator, because I think it's a fairly thorough explanation of the difference between Medicare Plan G, Medicare Supplement Plan G, and Medicare Supplement High Deductible Plan G or High Value Plan G. And the reason I constructed this, it took quite a while to construct this answer, is because this woman was speaking for her and her husband in shopping for Medicare supplement plans, because she's about to retire. And she's going to retire as an assistant vice president of an insurance company. And so I knew that I not only had to be thorough and careful with my answer, but I wanted to make sure I didn't make any mistakes. And so I constructed it in such a way that I thought she would find it entertaining and yet informative, and listing the reasons why I recommend high deductible or the high value plan rather than regular Plan G. So I'll just read through the correspondence here. About a week and a half ago, she said, "Thanks for all the info. Now I need to print it all out so I can stare at it and put it into a spreadsheet. Since my husband needs to hit his current $3,500 deductible every year, I'm leaning towards putting him on traditional Plan G instead of the high deductible or high value Plan G. I assume we can each go with different companies if we choose." And that is correct. "Also, can we move from high deductible Plan G to regular G at open enrollment, or are we locked into the choice for the rest of our lives?" And here is my response to her. I said, boy, you sure know how to have fun, because she's going to be plugging all that information into her spreadsheet. I'm not necessarily Mr. Spreadsheet, let me tell you. I went on to say to her, in the world of Medicare, we are all individuals, so you certainly may take different Medicare supplement plans from different companies if you wish. Also, there is no open enrollment for Medicare supplements. That is only for Advantage and for drug plans. Therefore, it is prudent to consider your choice as permanent and irrevocable. It's not always permanent and irrevocable in all states, but unless I know where you live, I can't tell you whether it's permanent and irrevocable. So it's prudent to think of it as permanent and irrevocable. Therefore, make your choice carefully. So I went on to say, however, United American offers a one-time opportunity to move from high deductible G to Plan G at the two-year policy anniversary. However, I don't often tout that as an advantage because their rates for Plan G are often too high for me to recommend. They have a great history of rate stability with their high deductible plans, their high value plans, but I rarely recommend their Plan G rates in most locations. I would really like to find a simple explanation as to why my clients should not be afraid of the high deductible plan. It starts with a very unfortunate name. The plan really does not expose one to a high deductible in the traditional sense. It is an elongation of the 20% coinsurance period. This is why I often refer to high deductible Plan G as the high value plan. First of all, let's consider outpatient Part B treatment expenses. This year, the Part B annual deductible, which is a true deductible, is $226. Since everyone must pay that before getting any benefit at all, but it is credited to the high deductible Plan G deductible, let's subtract it from the $2,700 high deductible plan deductible, and that leaves a net of $2,474 that you must pay out of pocket before high deductible Plan G kicks in and goes to 100%. Once one has met that Part B deductible, Medicare will begin paying 80% of Part B expenses for the balance of the year. If one has few or no additional Part B expenses for the rest of the year, they will benefit from paying a very much smaller premium for the rest of the year. How much of a benefit? Well, pick the Plan G premium that you might have purchased in your, if your agent was like most agents and hid the existence of high deductible plans from you. Then subtract the monthly high deductible plan premium, multiply by 12, and the result is your annual savings from just the reduced premium. Until Mutual of Omaha started aggressively buying up business, that savings was often greater than $100 a month. For the purpose of this discussion, let's say that you would have purchased the $114 monthly premium Mutual of Omaha Plan G. But if you went to United American for their high deductible plan at $44 in your location, so your monthly savings would have been $70. In other words, if you thought about taking the Plan G from Mutual of Omaha for $114, but you decided to go with United American for $44, then your monthly savings would be $70. And that would represent an annual savings of $840. Now, we reduced your amount at risk from $2,700 to $2,474 a few minutes ago, and now we can reduce it further by the amount of premium savings. So $2,474 minus $840 is $1,634. In my opinion, this is a more accurate picture of your greatest risk if you take the high deductible Plan G rather than your preferred Plan G. But wait, there's more. The worst case break-even point happens when you are forced to pay $1,634 out of pocket in 20% coinsurance expenses. How likely is that to happen to a person of average or better health? Remember, after paying the Part B deductible, you still might be on the hook for $2,474, which is the amount of the 20% coinsurance that the plan will not cover. And that would be for the rest of the year. If you get stuck paying that much in coinsurance, what is the total amount of claims going to be before you'll hit the point where the high deductible plan goes to 100%? The answer is about $12,596. That's $226 in Part B deductible and $12,370 at 20% coinsurance. I contend that the average person in their average year will be ahead of the game if they were to take that savings in cash and deposit that cash under the mattress. If they have an unusually bad year of Medicare medical expenses, that savings will cover the out-of-pocket bills that they will be forced to pay. This is why it has worked out the way it's worked out for the Joneses and my many other clients on high deductible Plan G. Even in a really bad year, the very limited extra risk one takes on with a high deductible Plan G is not going to spell disaster for the finances of your average family. But wait, because an X percent premium increase has a greater impact on the more costly Plan G than it would on the cheaper high deductible Plan G, as the years go by and as the insured advances in age, the increases in Plan G premium outpace the increases in high deductible Plan G to the point where there is a break-even point. At this point, over the course of a year, the higher cost of Plan G completely offsets the added risk of the high deductible Plan G. And from that point on, it makes more financial sense for the sickest person in America to buy high deductible G rather than pay the higher Plan G premium. I have seen this happy situation quite a few times, and I would be happy to bore you with the examples. And then I said, how else can I help? So what I was trying to imply there was that after the insured gets older and the expense of the Plan G rate has climbed a considerable amount, then the added risk of taking the high deductible Plan G is completely offset by the premium savings. So if the added risk were to be, say, $1,600 in this example, but you're saving $1,700 by taking the Plan G rates, or taking the high deductible Plan G over the regular Plan G, then from that point on, you're better off taking the high deductible G, paying that cash out of your pocket, and stuffing the savings away in your sock drawer, and it's always going to work out to your advantage. But that was my response to a woman who is a vice president of a major insurance company. And I thought, okay, maybe it's boring podcast reading, but it is a verbal explanation of why high deductible Plan G is likely going to work out best for most people. And that's what I spent the whole weekend doing. Randy is working on a form to express that in a shorter, simpler way. So I'm going to be giving that form to you and Margaret so you can work your magic on it and make it look real pretty. That's my goal anyway.
All righty. Well, I have one question before we sign off for today.
Yes, sir. What would that be?
You earlier in the podcast, you were talking about the fact that Transamerica got out of the Medicare supplement business.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that prompted a thought in my head. You know how I think. I'm always looking for, you know, well, what if?
Uh-huh.
So let's say that you had a Transamerica supplement plan,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that they just got out of the business, is that dumping you on your head, or how does that work?
No, sir. The federal government has made sure that you're not going to be dumped on your head. If you buy a Transamerica policy and Transamerica exits the business, two things can happen. First of all, they can keep all of those policyholders, and the only bad thing that can happen is rate increases that might be a little more aggressive than they would otherwise have been. But what they probably did, and I haven't researched it, I'm just speculating here, they probably wrapped up those policies in a nice little bundle with a ribbon around them and sold them to one of their competitors. So the insured people didn't have even a hiccup of a problem, but they may be sending their money to a different company now.
Makes perfect sense. You know how I think. I always want to know, well, what if? What's the answer to the what if? You know, if Transamerica got hit by a, you know, a satellite falling out of orbit, what would happen?
Okay, that's a whole different thing because Transamerica did not ask the satellite to crush them. They made a decision and they prepared for that decision in the current situation. But let's suppose a satellite fell out of the out of orbit and landed on their building in San Francisco. Here's what would happen then. The federal government would say, oh, you used to have Transamerica Medicare supplement and that satellite landed on them. Well, you now have a special enrollment period where you can go to any other Medicare supplement company, purchase the plan of your choice from that company, and not be penalized one bit for it.
Cool.
So that's how that would work.
Once again, it just seems to me the unofficial, unprofessional, not the expert sort of a guy. Supplements are the way to go, man.
They are. They offer you freedom of choice. And very little. The only drawback to a supplement is that you've got to pay a premium for it. Everything else about Medicare supplements is fantastic.
Yeah, I totally agree. And certainly I'm not the expert, but I'm bright enough to recognize a good thing when I see it.
Well, you're the customer. You're a customer of a Medicare supplement.
So anyway, we need to close up shop. As Doug has told you in the past, I only buy 75 cents worth of time for each podcast because we are running on a pretty tight budget. Bottom line is we need to sign it off for today, land the plane, bring the bus into the station. And before I do that, I always want to remind people that Doug Jones is a licensed agent nationwide. So it doesn't matter where, and the District of Columbia, doesn't matter really where you're at in the continental United States, that he is going to be able to help you as your licensed agent. If you want to reach out, you can always catch him at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And I caught him this morning just standing by the mailbox hoping that something was going to be there for him. He's just like a little kid, registering a toy that he got out of a Cracker Jack box. But bottom line is was there anything today?
No, darn it.
Okay, well, help me out here, folks. Doug always gets really disappointed and depressed when he doesn't get anything to talk about. But anyway, you can also check us out at MedicareForTheLazyMan.com. He talked about all the various ways you can get his book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. But before I sign off for today, see if you can find a place to give us a rating on the podcast and the books. 5 stars, we would certainly appreciate because we are always up against it in the podcast and the book world for ratings. It's just the way it is. But if you weren't keeping track today, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy originally from Oklahoma, now camped out in his fortress of solitude in the high altitude mountains behind Cave Creek with his Army surplus binoculars, keeping track of everything going on in Cave Creek, and especially to keep the Medicare Advantage people away. Okay, that's what he does every day, 24/7. But having said that, I'm going to put him in. I always have to tell him how high he is behind the city, and I'm going to put him in at about 7,500 feet.
Oh, a breath of fresh air. That's fantastic. He didn't used to have to tell me how high I was on a given day, but that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We've had a great time. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time.